The Philippians series has been a series of 8 messages, 2 for each chapter of the book. And today we close the study with the second of our messages from chapter 4. But you can go back and catch any or all of those if you want to walk through the whole book of Philippians with us. You know, last week I was absolutely thrilled that the key passage for today, for that day, which we had chosen weeks before, was to be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And I thought, wow, what a great provision of God. Pastor Paula, thank you for your ministry of teaching last week. And today we come to another wonderful passage, but maybe just a bit more challenging to talk about in this moment, because it's about giving. And right now, if you're feeling the financial stress, you might think, I can't believe they have the gall to preach a sermon about money on the week that we're all feeling so nervous about our income and stuff. And so a couple things to say about that. First of all, this is why we do what is referred to as expositional, through the Bible kind of preaching here at Pathways, because we don't want to pick and choose what suits us in any given moment. We are trying to learn, study, and embrace the whole counsel of the Bible of God, the Word of God. And so that means you need to take a book, you need to take a passage, you need to work through it, and not shy away from any parts of it. So that's very important for us here. But it's also important to talk about giving in a time of financial stress when people are wondering, how do I handle this? I'm unemployed for the moment. I went from fully employed to zip. I'm a contractor, whatever your case might be. What a great time to be hearing what the Bible has to say about our financial interactions together. So if you've got your Bible open, I hope you do at your home today, Philippians chapter 4. Now, here's what I want. You can open to that. If you're taking notes, you might want to jot down a different passage. You might jot down 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 14 through 18. Because as I was prepping for this Philippians study this week, this passage came to me about times of difficulty. And so before we dive into our regular study for today, I just want you to hear this great word from the Scriptures, which addresses the different situations and the different reactions. Because the fact of the matter is, we can all be good people, we can all be nice people, we can all be committed to Jesus, but given your particulars of your life and what you are facing, the reactions, the feelings, your past experiences inform you, your family situations inform you, you might be having some different feelings. And I wanted you to hear what Paul had to say to the Thessalonians at a difficult time. He said, "We urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive." That's not really my emphasis for today. It's not a bad word in this time. While you have time at home, don't just be idle or disruptive. Instead, he says, encourage the disheartened. Wow, what a great thing for us to be doing. Help the weak, be patient with everyone, make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. That's such a powerful reminder about community in a time of struggle. When states are talking about, oh, how can we keep people from other states or other cities from coming in? When there's talk about, you know, all this isolation and separating ourselves from people, be careful, be careful. Remember the spirit of the Scripture that says, be doing what is good for each other and for everyone else. Rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. That's a great passage for you to be looking at this week. We've tried to make assignments as we've gone through Philippians. Well, for today, we wrap up Philippians. What do you study for next week? Maybe you read that passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 several times, and let that be a great guidance for you and for me and for all the people of God in these difficult days, that we would encourage, that we would help, that we would be patient, that we would pray and give thanks in all circumstances. That's just a little word of devotion and inspiration as we start our day today. If you are joining us just in time for the message and you didn't catch all of the next steps, announcements, just a quick reminder, the ministry adjustments we're facing, the limited hours in the office, just basically Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday in the morning time especially, the potential of a communion service during Easter week, so be watching for news on that. And I want to say that next week is going to be interesting. Next week, we always have a musical on Palm Sunday. And last year's was particularly wonderful, we thought. So we have edited last year's service. We're going to have some new elements from this year. There'll be a brief message, and some other things that go with it. But tune in next week. And if you're in the choir and you're always having to sit up there and not able to watch one, next week you get to watch and enjoy and sing along and celebrate on Palm Sunday with us. So we look forward to next week together. So with that said, let's get ready for our study in Philippians. Beloved, I do understand that we are living in trying times. It can feel lonely. It can feel exhausting. I know I talk to people, they're so tired of different things already because of the stress and what that does to you emotionally as well as physically, and the challenge of getting things done when people are isolating and staying and sheltering in place and all those kinds of things. And that's why I think it has been such a gift for us to be in this book of Philippians, a gift from God. One writer put it this way. He said, you know what? He said, we need to live lives that demand an explanation. And that's what Philippians is actually about. Paul was in jail, and yet he was writing a letter about joy. That demands an explanation. The Philippians were not rich. They were suffering their own issues, but they were regularly sending support to Paul financially to help him out. It demands explanation. When Paul wrote chapter 2 of Philippians and talked about this great God who did not consider life in the heavens something to be clung to, but Jesus made himself nothing and came to earth and took the form of a servant, a man, humbled himself and was obedient unto death, even the kind of death that one suffers on a cross for us. That life of humility, that demands an explanation. And so that's what Philippians is kind of dealing with as it moves to its conclusion. As Paul talks some more about sacrificial giving, about endurance, about confidence in God, that's what Paul is dealing with in his letter to the Philippians as it closes out. So if your Bible's open, we're going to pick up in verse 10, chapter 4. Here's what he writes. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. So I want you to note something here. This is kind of interesting. We can be concerned, but not have the opportunity to minister to someone. Wow. Has that ever been more true for us in this country than right now? I mean, it's you can have concerns for others, but the opportunity to minister to them is quite constrained. So here's what I'm asking you as brothers and sisters in Christ, as fellow church members, please don't sit at home thinking, nobody cares about me. You are being prayed for regularly. Small groups, prayer times, staff gatherings, we are praying for our church family. We are praying for you. And be aware that while the kinds of opportunities we have to show our concern have necessarily changed in light of the current COVID-19 crisis, we are still trying to find lots and lots of ways to reach out to each other. And when I say each other, that means it's not just from this way to you, but from you to each other and to us, and we invite that. I want to thank you today for making time to log in and join us live for worship as we minister to one another through the Word of God. Now, when you read that verse that Paul wrote there, and he talks about your concern for me, I do need to say this. We need to be biblically accurate. And Paul is talking about concern, but he's not talking about just an intellectual or emotional feeling. He's actually talking about their financial support, about the financial support that he has received from the people in the church at Philippi in other times. And then there had been this break where they had been unable to help him. And then they had found, do you remember his name? Some people call him Frodo. It wasn't Frodo. It was Epaphroditus. And Epaphroditus became their servant to deliver an offering to them. So I think in the spirit of that, again, I want to say thank you to all of you as well for that ongoing concern that you have renewed and showed again for your church. You didn't have an opportunity to come here and give it, and so you found ways. You used the mail, you used online, and you have renewed your concern, as it were, in the language of Paul, for your church family. And we say we are so grateful. Again, I want to say to you, the instructional video that we showed last week is available online for you if you need help. And for those of you who have communicated you're interested in being able just to set that up and let that happen regularly, as a number of our members do, that kind of requires a phone call or an email conversation with Kelly Durr. So that's K-D-U-R-R, K-Durr, at pathwaysbc.org. You can always go to our website, look up Kelly, click on her email address, initiate a conversation. She'll make an appointment with you if need be and walk you through how you can set that up to be a regular thing. But we all need to say a thank you online to Kelly and to Pastor Clark, who set up that video instruction for us, who have gone the extra mile to make it possible for all of us to renew our concern for each other, because some of you are sending gifts that we're able then to use in ministering to other people. And we have been in contact with some of our partner organizations, with Mid-County United Ministries, what we call MUM, and their needs for increased supplies to give out to people in need. As you know, they provide food and medical assistance and those kinds of things, and right now is a big time for that. And Gaithersburg Help that we partner with, and Upper Montgomery Ministry. So there are all kinds of partners we have whose workload has actually increased in these days, and we are maintaining our support because of your concern that has been renewed. So thank you so much for your support. And I need you to hear this, please. Whatever you are doing, please listen. We are concerned for you. Some of you are facing great difficulties. We don't know how to meet all of those, but we want you to know, if you communicate those with us, we will do everything we can to meet that need or to find the partner who can meet that need. I want to give a shout out to our deacons. They're not doing anything crazy. They're not making home visits, going from house to house to house. You can't do that, right? But they are doing things. Our elders, buying groceries, delivering them at times, getting some support, making a connection to one of the other help organizations, whatever it might be. So let us know if there's a way in which we can serve you. As I said to you, the offices are basically closed because of government mandate. You cannot walk up. Even when we have somebody here, you cannot simply walk up here and come through the door. We are closed officially, but we are able to receive your request via email and even by phone. So you can call, leave messages, or you can send an email and communicate with us. So our gratitude to all those folks who are helping us minister in these days as we all try to renew our concern for each other. Let's continue in the study of the Word. Pick up in verse 11. Paul writes, "Not that I speak from want," from need is what he's saying, and not just what I need. He said, "For I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am." This is the verse I'm suggesting that you make your memory verse out of this section of Philippians 4, Verse 11, for I have learned. You almost ought to underline those three words. I have learned. It's not something that comes automatically when you get saved. It's not something that gets bestowed upon you by becoming a church member or by growing up in church. It's about being discipled. It's about submitting ourselves to the teaching of the Word of God. And Paul says, if you commit yourselves to the way of Christ, you can learn, you can grow in this. And Paul's not saying, I always did that right. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, Paul says, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, of having abundance and suffering need. So what's Paul talking about? Well, yes, Paul is talking about his personal situation, this thing of being jailed and in chains and under house arrest and being transported and all these things, having a guard with him, all these ups and downs and the struggles and not having resources, and then Epaphroditus showing up with resources and sometimes having Timothy with him and sometimes not. Paul is saying, yes, circumstances are up and they're down. It's the way that life is, but he's trying to address the way the body of Christ works. He's saying, I think, to us in times of financial stress, he's saying, look, there are times when you're more able to be a giver, and there are times when you need to receive the ministry of the family or the ministry of God, the generosity from God. There are other times when you're in need, and there are times when you need to be the provider of somebody else's need. And wow, what a great word to us. We're here to help each other out. But it's all for the sake of the same thing. It's sacrifice for the sake of God's kingdom. It's about caring for God's family, God's people. And we need to get that. I mean, it really is not about our location physically today. You may be sheltering in place in this lifestyle, or you may have a job that is considered essential, and you may be going out and feeling like you're risking some things and you're nervous about whatever. God is asking us to get this idea. Paul is calling us to this idea that God provides for us in the highs and the lows, in the ups and the downs. And when you get that, when you understand who Jesus is and you're committed to following him wherever he leads, then you learn, as Paul did, I have learned to be content whatever my circumstances are, wherever I find myself, because that's what life with Jesus is like. Jesus helps me to take the edge off those other wants and things, and I begin to focus in and be content in him. And so I encourage you to make verse 11 out of chapter 4 your memory verse for this week. I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. You folks, again, you learn that by your growth through discipleship. This is why we need each other, small group leaders and teachers and peers and people encouraging one another in student ministries and all those kinds of things, walking together with God and with each other. That's another reason we chose the name Pathways. We said it is about life together, not life independent. We're not all in exactly the same path, but our pathways come together as we live life as the family of God. All right, let's move to the next verse. And this is really a famous, much beloved passage. But I love the way Francis Chan, he says this is the most misquoted verse in the Bible. I think he actually means misunderstood verse, because people quote it right. It doesn't mean what they think it means. All those of you who love Princess Bride, you know how that goes. It does not mean what you think it means. And here's what he says in verse 13. I can do all things through him who strengthens me, or through Christ who strengthens me. Verse 14, nevertheless, you have done well to share with me in my affliction. So verse 13, man, I have seen this on coffee mugs. I've seen it on t-shirts. I've seen it on banners. I've seen it, you know, all over the world. I've heard people quote it. I've heard people quote it well. I've heard people quote it and misapply it. I think one of the most famous times that in my lifetime I remember Philippians 4:13 was when there was a big boxing match, Evander Holyfield and Mike Tyson. And Evander is a self-proclaimed Christian, and on his boxing robe, you know, the fancy robe that the boxer wears as he comes down the aisle and gets ready to enter the ring, and on it, it had the verse, and it said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me," which I take that to mean Evander Holyfield was kind of thinking that day, it means God is going to give me strength to beat up Mike Tyson. And it was a statement of faith and confidence in the sense that most odds makers had picked Tyson to win and Holyfield to lose. But surprisingly, Holyfield won. And so it was a great you know, thing, and I was excited for him. Many people were happy for him. Tyson had his issues with popularity. Here's the catch, though. You see, Evander Holyfield wore that same robe to his next fight against Lennox Lewis, and I don't know if you remember it. So he's wearing his same robe in, "I can do all things," and then he gets beat up by Lennox Lewis, and he gets defeated. So what's going on? Well, the verse didn't have anything to do with whether he was going to win a boxing match or not. And so what's the lesson for us? And I want to take just a minute, give a shout out to our student ministries folks who are in school. You're not at school right now, but you are still in school, and your life is grades and tests and exams and meeting standards and all that stuff. And I just want to give you a little advice for when the day comes that you go back to school. The lesson that I want you to remember from this verse is that if you're in a class and it comes time for an exam, but you didn't study and you didn't read the book and you didn't prepare and you didn't do anything, if you go in there and say, "But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me," and you repeat that verse 10 times and you think that means you can get an A on the test, I want to tell you that's not the way the verse does. No, the verse doesn't mean that. I tried things like that when I was in school and figured out pretty quickly that's not what it's about. That's not what Christ is strengthening us for in that way. I'm going to ace this test, but I didn't prepare for it. And really what Paul is saying, look, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, but remember he's also just said, I had to learn. I have learned to be content. It's about a life of obedience and preparation and growing in Christ. I'm not going to bet on a winning performance on a test that people haven't prepared for. And when we lean into this verse like it means that somehow we can skimp on everything else, we don't have to pray much, but when we want our prayer answered, God's obligated, or I don't have to study the Bible much, but somehow I should be able to magically remember a word from God that ministers to me at my time of need. Not if you don't study the word, that rarely happens, folks. I'm not saying it can't happen, God can do anything, but a reminder to us, Paul is talking to us in the context of a broader passage and a broader book. He's saying, learn to walk like this. Learn to do this. It does not simply mean when he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, he does not mean whatever I feel like doing, God's going to give me the power to do it and make me successful at it. That's not what it means. The verse is still true, that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, but we have to notice the context of the verse. I have to be honest with you. Over the years, I've heard people say stuff like, well, you know, God really wants to bless everybody. He wants us all to be rich. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. If I need money, I just need to speak it, and God's going to provide it, and God's obligated because it says he can make us rich, and he's obligated. Folks, that's not it. As a matter of fact, let's understand something. That's almost the exact opposite of what Paul is trying to communicate here. The purpose of this verse is not to say you can be materially rich because you can do all things magically through Christ who strengthens you. That is not the purpose of the verse. The purpose of this passage and this verse is to remind us that you are rich in Christ. We are rich in Christ. Even if you don't have a penny to your name, you can be content whether you have a little or whether you have a lot, you can do that. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you, including being content no matter where you are today on the material spectrum. And Paul is saying that out of his own experience. He's saying, look, I'm glad that you guys have now managed to send me an offering to provide stuff for me. That's cool. But the truth is, Paul is saying, while I'm grateful to receive it, I didn't have to have it because I'm fine. I'm here in chains. I'm under house arrest. But I want you to understand something. I'm okay. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can be content. I can be humble. I can be a child of God whose focus is on what God wants and not on what I want. I think Paul is trying to say, look, folks, there have been times I've been in severe need, but you guys were unable to reach me. You couldn't meet that need for me, and it was okay. If I missed a meal, that's the way it is. I was content. I knew that God would take care of me in his way. I've learned the secret. There have been other times when I was well-fed and free and materially blessed, and that's okay. I've learned the secret, he says. I've learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, of having abundance and suffering need. I have learned contentment in Christ. Paul learned that through hard experience. And one of my prayers would be that whatever else COVID-19, coronavirus leaves behind, it leaves behind some Christians who have learned to be content, including myself, a deeper level of contentment, of understanding that whatever's going on circumstantially, I can grow in Christ, I can deepen in Christ, and I can trust him to provide, and I can be content with what I've got regardless. Folks, this is so important. This is so important. We sometimes think that contentment is something that you only learn when you don't have any. I have to learn to be content with nothing. No, Paul says, I've learned contentment when I've had nothing and when I've had abundance. And this is important because, as we've said numerous times, look, this current COVID-19 crisis is not going to last forever. It's going to end, and most people will get back to a pretty close semblance of what we had before. So what does that mean? Well, in this national capital area in particular where we live and minister here in Gaithersburg, Maryland and Washington, D.C. and the areas all around here, here's what I'm very aware of, as I'm sure you are. There are all kinds of people and families who are bringing in incomes that the rest of the world wish they could get. And you know what's funny is that even with those kinds of impressive incomes, oftentimes people will say, you know, it's just not enough. I just wish I had more. You see, with all that they have in their abundance, they still do not have contentment. They still wonder, how am I going to get by with all this abundance? Because they are not content. This hunger for stuff and the wanting of all kinds of things. Hasn't it been interesting to watch as the stores have been hit during this crisis? How many people themselves have said, and managers of stores have said, some of the craziest things people have bought because they go there to get something, it's not there, so they just buy something else, whether they actually use that other thing or not, because it's just kind of this psychology of stuff that people have. I came out to hunt and gather, and so I'm going to gather whether this was actually the thing I was hunting for or not. It's kind of wild. I think it's because of this in part. Paul says it's this understanding about contentment. People wanting all kinds of things, unable to find happiness. And can I just be honest? And this is probably true for you too. In my lifetime, I think I've met more people, happy people, who were toward the lower end of the economic spectrum than I have met happy people on the upper end. Because the upper end tends to make you want more and more and more and more. And the acquisition of stuff, if you're not careful, the stuff begins to acquire you and your heart and your spirit and your attention. So just keep that in mind. Here's the key principle that I want you to take home. Well, you're at home. So this is good news delivered to you at home. Contentment has nothing to do with your circumstances. Contentment has nothing to do with your circumstances. If you have the mentality that says, if I could only get this one more thing, then the truth is you're not content and you're not going to be content, because when you get that one more thing, there's going to pop up one more thing and one more thing. Contentment is not found in your circumstances. It is found in Jesus Christ and Him alone. And that's the context of this passage, is Paul is saying, look, I can be in a prison, or I can be under house arrest, or I can be free and ministering in whatever city in the world. I can have a little bit, I can have a lot. It doesn't matter. I've learned the secret that I can do all things through Christ. Everything I need to handle, I can handle because Christ is so good to me. You see, now to a lot of people, that does not make sense. That defies explanation for them. Remember, we started out today by saying, we need to live lives that demand an explanation. And there are people who would be saying, how can you be content living in the condition you're in? How can you be content in the midst of this crisis? How can you be content in the midst of all this stress and confusion and fear? Folks, it is my privilege as a Christian first and also as a pastor to walk with people through all kinds of things. And can I just be honest and say, some of those folks have amazed me over the years. I mean, some of you these days have amazed me. Your employer has turned their back on you, but you are content. You are confident in God. Others of you, you walk with tremendous pain because somebody in your family, a brother, a sister, a spouse, something's gone wrong and it's just been horrible and painful and something awful, and yet you are content in Christ. Some of you have suffered the loss of a loved one, and I think, frankly, we're all aware that it's going to be very difficult to escape this crisis without losing people that we know and love, and that brings a sense of dread. It for some, it's already happened in the past year or two. We've lost somebody we loved, and it's a tremendous sense of loss, and yet you have found that deeper peace and joy even in the midst of those circumstances. That's what godly contentment is about. Christ is enough. Oh, that doesn't mean that there are times when we long for contact and we want that conversation. Contentment doesn't mean we never have those feelings. Indeed, the Bible teaches that we still need each other, but when you get that it's not about stuff and it's not about circumstances, but it's about Christ, then you understand what it means to say, Christ really is everything to me. And that's my prayer for you. Well, let's finish up the passage here. Let's look at 15 through 20. He says, you yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel after I left Macedonia, that's the larger region in which Philippi is located, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving but you alone. In other words, he's saying, thank you so much. I couldn't count on anybody else for financial support. You were the only ones doing that. Verse 16, he says, for even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs. Paul says, I was working in another city, you were supporting my work, just like you do when you give, and we forward it on to missions and missionaries and to works of mercy around the globe. He says, this is the key verse. Look at verse 17 very carefully. He says, not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account. Now, wow, we're going to come back to that. I want to finish the passage. We're going to come back and study it. That's circle that verse, underline it, whatever you do where you are. He said, not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases to your account. But I have received everything in full and have an abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be the glory forever and ever. Amen. As we went through that, some of you are thinking, yes, I've already memorized verse 19 as well. Yes, you should. It's a great verse. So let's talk about this, though, as kind of a clump, as a little section of Scripture. Paul is giving a lesson to the people of God on the right attitude, both for giving and receiving. You see, it's both happening, giving and receiving an offering. And I want you to understand how we understand this at Pathways. We have a commitment here at this church that our message about financial gifts and stewardship is not, never, this is never to be our message. We need your money. You have to give because I don't know what will happen unless you give this money. We've never said that by the grace of God. We will never say that, not even by accident. We do not believe that. We do not affirm that attitude at all. That's not it. And I got to tell you, some of you, I know you love and you watch other TV ministries and have for years, but when they start with that thing of, you know, oh, if you don't give, we may not be here next. Listen, you need to be wary of those kinds of manipulative appeals. That's not, because do you want to know what the truth is? You want to know what we believe? We believe that we will always have enough as a church to be and to do what God wants us to be and to do. We'll be fine. Everything that is important to God will be provided for. How do I know that? My God will supply all your need according to his riches in glory. That may be materially, that may be spiritually, but what God wants to have done, there will be supply for, and we will find a way according to his supply. We just need to be faithful to hear what God wants, to walk in God's ways, to do what he wants. But listen to what Paul is saying, because it's what I want to say to you. When you give, when we give, I'm more excited for you. That's what Paul says. He says, look, I'm fine. If I don't eat for a few days, if I don't get this, if I don't get that, I've already learned to be content, so it's no big deal. I've got Christ. But, he says, but when you give, I'm excited for you because it's a profit to your account. And he doesn't mean dollar profit. He means the spiritual profit. God sees your gift, and he says it increases to your credit. He says you're going to be rewarded for that. And not only are you going to be rewarded because of your gift, not only is it profit to your account, but God's going to supply all your need according to his riches in glory. And, you know, we understand that that's not just some kind of stupid material promise. That is a promise that all that we really need, what do we really need? We really need peace. We need forgiveness. We need healing. We need joy. We need comfort. We need strength. We need all those things that God can give through his riches in Christ Jesus. And Paul is saying to them, look, when you give, I'm excited because when you're a giver, I know that God is going to take care of you. That's what Paul is saying. And can I just point out, that's also what Jesus taught. Jesus said that famous passage in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all this other stuff will be added to you. What you really need will be provided, but seek God's kingdom first. So Paul's teaching is not new, it's different, it's not manipulative to get missionary support. He's teaching the same principle that Jesus taught. And so that's why the next thing I want you to really jot down today, if you got the outline you'll see coming up, giving everything for Christ is the wisest way to live. You see, folks, this is biblical Christianity. This is what the Bible teaches about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. You give your all in this life to Christ, and you see God be faithful to you in this life and in the life beyond. And Paul is trying to say, as he wraps up Philippians, all stuff issues are not that big a deal. All that stuff doesn't matter. He says, I'm happy. I'm content whether I've got a little or whether I've got a lot. I'm content with Christ. And the question for you and for me is this. What's it going to take before you really believe that Christ is enough? That Christ is all you really need? Because my friends, my brothers and sisters, my beloved ones, if you follow Christ sacrificially, even when it's difficult, you will find that He is enough. You will be able to say like Paul, I have learned that He is enough. I have grown and come to discover Jesus is enough. I follow Him sacrificially even when the circumstances are difficult and dark and hard, and I discover Jesus is enough. My God will supply all your need according to His riches in Christ Jesus. And then the wrap up, and with this we conclude today. And then Anand is going to come and lead us in a closing song about coming to the altar. And really, it's about coming to the altar and saying, you know what, all this stuff, I lay it down at the altar because Jesus is enough for me. Here are the last three verses of Philippians 4. Greet every saint. That means every follower, every other Christ follower. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. So, dear friends, in these days of social distancing, I want to say to you again, don't distance yourself. Do not isolate yourself from each other in ways that are safe and healthy. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. Just do it by phone. Do it by internet. Do it by email. Do it by teleconference, by Google Hangouts, by Zoom, whatever platform it is that you prefer. Pray for each other and therefore greet every saint in Christ in that way. Encourage each other. Give thanks. Practice contentment. And as you do, that last verse becomes true. And I love this. He says, the brethren who are with me greet you. And I can tell you, I've had little waves here during the service. Everybody here, the brothers and sisters, greet all of you who are out there. We thank God for you, and we pray for you, and we say to you what this last verse says, and not to come and lead us as we sing, but this last verse of Philippians says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. God bless you this week as you walk in His grace and power and love and learn contentment by bringing your all and laying it on the altar. May God keep you in His peace this week. Let's worship with one more closing song. God bless you as we go.